Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Radio Program starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, on the ones and twos. This lovely Upstate Wednesday AM, we are very glad to have you today. You want to be a part of the show? You can. Not only can you, you should. Not only should you, we almost demand it. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is open right now at 844-FAN-FONE. That is 844-326-3663. You may text us at 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and jump on the air. We'll read those texts for you. F-A-N starts your message to 71307 if you want to come at us in that direction. If you're wondering what kind of day we're having on the show today, we just got a text that said, Rob, and whenever I show my in public, I'm a criminal. What the hell?
Exactly.
Oh, man. Text just said that.
Sir, could you please put your shirt back on?
That Oilers gal jumped on the podcast Spittin' Chicklets, which, yeah, if you're a hockey guy, Oilers girl. Texas said, someone get this girl an OnlyFans and I'm in. Kate could make $1 million on OnlyFans if she wanted to, for sure.
According to the internet, right after it happened, she was offered one of those.
I have no doubt she was offered a number of contracts of different varieties within the few minutes after that video went viral. Ain't no doubt that that happened.
Should have been offered a citation.
Victimless crime, baby. Victimless crime. All right. It is 7:02 in the morning. You, I was going to say you're on your way to work. Some of you are on your way to work. The rest of you, you have woken up and you're going, what a lovely day. What a lovely day to not work today. But you're up. You got your coffee, or if you're not working today, perhaps your mimosa poured. You're sitting out on the back porch. You're listening to the Rob Brown Show, either on the radio or on your phone at thefanupstate.com or your laptop or your tablet or whatever. Maybe you've got the Odyssey app and you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, which, by the way, if you don't have the Odyssey app, you should get it, because not only can you heart the Fan Upstate and listen to the show and the station live anytime you want to, but you can also use the Odyssey Rewind feature to go back and listen to parts of hours that you've missed. You can also utilize it to bring home the podcast of any electrifying show we have here on the lineup that you'd like to go back and listen to. So if you miss, let's say maybe you don't have to get up at 6 a.m. for work. Maybe you get up at 7. Maybe you get up at 8 and you're lazy. You can go back and listen to the podcast on the Odyssey app, or go find and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show wherever you get your podcasts, on Spotify, on iTunes, on Google Play, whatever it might be. We've got the podcast up for you. Hours go up
within minutes of the conclusion of the radio program, because that's how rules work. So you can listen to the show on demand almost right after it's over. Go to thefanupstate.com and grab the podcast or check us out on the Odyssey app. Either way, whether you're going to work or you're not, you're going to talk sports today. We know that. Yeah, sports has no days off. No off season, y'all. That's the tagline of this show. No days off, y'all, is the tagline of every day, which means you're going to talk sports. And if you're going to talk sports, you're going to need this.
I'm not coming back because the coworkers aren't saying anything. You know why? Because they had a day off like we could have.
Creed is all I'm going to say.
We could be hearing that. Doesn't that make you sleepy?
You
could be asleep right now.
Lonzo, the people demand their sports. We shall give it to them with the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know for today, Juneteenth of 2024. Let us begin with item number one. As we mentioned to end the last hour of the show, MLB legend, the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, has passed away at 93 years of age. His son, Michael Mays, put out a statement last night that said, quote, "My father has passed away peacefully and amongst loved ones. I want to thank you all from the bottom of my broken heart for the unwavering love you have shown him over the years. You have been his life's blood." The Say Hey Kid was, of course, one of the most all-around complete baseball players of all time. He was a wizard in the outfield, bringing home a dozen gold gloves. Between the Negro League and his Major League Baseball career, he was a 24-time All-Star. He was a two-time league MVP, a two-time All-Star Game MVP, a one-time Major League Player of the Year. He was a 54 World Series champion, the 1951 Rookie of the Year, and was elected to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in 1979. Mays was the 10th black player in Major League Baseball history, went hitless in his first three games. His first career hit with the Giants was a home run off of a soon-to-be Hall of Famer Warren Spahn in the first inning of a Giants 4-1 loss to the Braves on May 28, 1951. Mays was also on deck when the Giants' Bobby Thompson hit his NL pennant-winning home run against the Dodgers on October 3, 1951. Of course, famously known as the shot heard round the world. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. Willie Mays, an absolute icon of the game. Willie Mays was my introduction to my education of Negro League baseball. I did not know Willie Mays was a black player when I was growing up. My grandpa, who was a big baseball romanticist, one day introduced me to that fact, introduced me to the Say Hey Kid, introduced me to my knowledge of not just Willie Mays, but the incredible Negro League players from those days. And Willie Mays was the trigger for me learning all of that incredible baseball knowledge, a baseball history that was unfortunately necessary because of intolerance and bigotry in those days within the game, a part of the dark period of baseball history. Willie Mays, one of the reasons that we have moved on from and celebrate that, a legend and icon of the game, passing at 93 years of age. He, of course, was the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. Let's get to item number two. The Stanley Cup playoffs roll on. They roll on because the Florida Panthers, who held a 3-0 lead over the Edmonton Oilers, now hold a 3-2 lead over that team. Back-to-back consecutive wins for the team from Canada. And just like that, now it feels, despite the fact that they are still down a game, like Edmonton was in the driver's seat. Clearly, the better hockey team yesterday evening down in Sunrise, Florida. Why? Because the special teams of Edmonton has not just come alive, but they are now dominating. The first two goals for the Oilers and three out of the five came on special teams play for Edmonton last night. Connor Brown opened the scoring 5.5 minutes into the first period, scoring a shorty, Lonzo, scoring a shorty. A shorthanded goal on the 5-4 disadvantage from Connor Brown. It was unassisted, took it himself the length of the ice, and buried it past Sergei Bobrovsky, who has struggled a little bit the last couple of games.
Shorty means something totally different in the Urban Dictionary.
Well, it's a good thing we're talking hockey and not whatever you young people are talking about nowadays. Connor Brown gets the shorthanded goal, which meant that in the last two games, Edmonton has scored more shorthanded goals than Florida has scored power play goals at this point. Zach Hyman would score just 2 minutes into the second period. That one was on the power play. Back-to-back special teams goals for Brown and Hyman. Connor McDavid would get yet another point in, I believe, his 41st at the time. He would get 42 later in the game. McDavid would get an even strength goal 5 minutes into the second period. That made it 3-0 in favor of the Oilers. Matthew Tkachuk would get one back for Florida less than 2 minutes later off the Rodriguez helper. That made it 3-1, and it felt like the Cats were going to come alive. But Corey Perry got another special teams goal, a power play goal for Edmonton just under 12 minutes into the second period. Got the assist from Connor McDavid. That was point number 42. That made it 4-1. Then there was a flurry of action from the Florida Panther offense. Evan Rodriguez would score 12:08 just seconds after the Perry goal. That would make it 4-2. Florida would go and dominate the last 5-6 minutes of the second period. In fact, they got 6 shots on goal in about a 40-second period. However, none of them could find the strings because Stuart Skinner was having a freaking night last night. We would end the second period at 4-2. Ekman Larson would get a goal for Florida 4:04 into the third period, and the place came unglued. It felt like Florida was going to have a come-from-behind victory in this game. Alas, it was not to be, because while Florida controlled the action in the third period, they could not find a way to break the brick wall built up by Stu Skinner. 19:41 into the contest after about a minute and a half and a stellar open net save from Matthew Tkachuk. They would get it back anyway. Just seconds later, Connor McDavid would find his second goal of the game against an empty net. That made it 5-3 in favor of the Oilers, and that would end up being your final. And so just like that, on a plane we hop, we fly back to Edmonton. Game 6 set for a puck drop late Friday evening from up in Canada. No word yet on if Kate's going to be there or not to inspire the troops to rally the Oilers. Oilers girl.
Okay.
Kate, the Oilers girl.
Okay.
Somebody, I got a dollar, says somebody buys her a ticket. Anybody want to take me up on that? Yeah, I didn't think so. Hey, we should move on to item number 3 on the water cooler cheat sheet. One that I have specifically added for the great one, Lonzo. The PGA Tour has 8 signature events around the course of the annual calendar. Those 8 signature events all have a purse of $20 million or more. Those signature events all lead to points in the FedEx standings. They have increased prize money and increased FedEx points. However, to qualify for those events, there are minimum standards that you have to hit. You have to hit a certain number of tournaments played. You have to hit a certain number of placements within those tournaments. You have to hit a certain amount of prize money won. And it is tough to do if you are not playing full-time golf on the PGA Tour. Welp, the PGA Tour said, we need Eldrick. A memo obtained by ESPN yesterday, the tour told its members that a, quote, sponsor exemption will be created to recognize Tiger Woods in his own category as a player who has reached an exceptional lifetime achievement threshold of 80-plus career wins, end quote. Tiger Woods has had the Tiger exemption created just for Tiger Woods. He is now eligible with an exemption to play in all eight of the signature events, which include the Century, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, the Genesis Invitational, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the RBC Heritage, the Wells Fargo Championship, the Memorial, and the Travelers Championship. Jay Monahan said the policy board was considering implementing a 36-hole cut in each of the signature events. Only the Genesis Invitational, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and the Memorial currently do. The board did take no action and will continue discussing the possibility, but the 48-year-old Tiger Woods has competed in only 9 official PGA Tour events the past 3 seasons since returning to action at the 22 Masters. The only non-major event he has competed in is the Genesis, which of course he hosts, and it benefits his invitation. Woods withdrew from the second round of the Genesis back in February because of illness. He finished 60th in the Masters, missed the cut at the PGA Championship, and last week's U.S. Open. Woods did say he planned to compete in next month's Open Championship, which is scheduled at the Royal Troon Golf Course in Scotland. But Woods can now play in all of the signature events. He was asked at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst on Friday if playing in more events might help him perform better. He said he did not feel like he was ready to play in additional tournaments. In fact, he said, I've got only one more tournament this season. Even if I win the British Open, I don't think I'll be in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Just one more event, and then I'll come back whenever I come back. Now, he is welcome to come back to the 8 signature events after the PGA created an exemption just for the 82-time PGA Tour winner. If you did not believe that there was a special level of importance placed on Eldrick Tiger Woods, the PGA Tour has just said, yes, indeed, there absolutely is. And it's a good decision. It's a good decision because even if you are not tuning in to watch Tiger, a lot of people are. A lot of people are. I watch golf just about every weekend that it's on television. And I will tell you that the few times that my lady friend has sat down on the couch next to me and been happy about golf being on has been just to see what Tiger's doing. Tiger keeps eyes on the game and will as long as he plays. It's a good decision from the PGA Tour. It doesn't hurt anybody. They'll expand the field by 1. He does not take a spot away from a younger competitive golfer. You just put him out there and let him go. And hey, if he pops up and he wins a tournament or 2, incredible. You ride that PR wave. And if he doesn't, whatever, he gets eyes on the product, which hopefully will turn into new fans. When we come back, a brand new sport has just been approved for folks to gamble on in New Jersey. And it is a sport that when I tell you about it, Lonzo's going to lose his mind over it. And I hope you will all come join us on the live stream to watch that happen, because I guarantee it happens. Next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, ordinarily the 7 o'clock hour, or as we call it, the money hour, is reserved for like serious sports talk, right? Or at least as serious as this show gets. But I'm not going to do that here because I found this earlier and I'm not going to lie. The great one immediately jumped into my brain. Why? Because the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement, which is the entity under which if you are offering sports gambling, you must be approved in the state of New Jersey. New Jersey, of course, home of Atlantic City, one of the most popular gambling destinations in America, is looked to very frequently as more and more states begin to approve sports gambling's legality. They have just approved their newest sport, which sportsbooks may offer gambling services for. That sport, Lonzo, I had never heard of before. But not only have I heard of it now, but I spent the last break watching it on YouTube and familiarizing myself because I think that my next goal is to become the voice of Carjitsu. Have you heard of Carjitsu?
No, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
It is. It is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu match, which takes place in the front seat of a sedan. Two competitors.
That's not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was more about,
You thought Demolition Derby?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Which is what I thought. No. It is Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Two competitors enter the front seat of a sedan. They, of course, because safety first in this contest, great one, must apply their seat belts when they enter the sedan.
Is the car moving?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay, all right.
The referee says, "Let's get it on," which is what every combat sports referee says. They're all Mills Lane to me. The referee says, "Let's get it on."
He's dead, so we're probably good.
I don't think he ever TM'd that.
I don't know. Everyone does that these days.
I mean, I don't think you can TM "Let's get it on."
We just got one about the Olympics, man.
Yeah, but they're like those are actual trademarked like names and stuff. Like I don't think you can I don't know. I could be wrong. Either way, it doesn't matter because Mills Lane's dead. The point here is, the ref says, "Let's get it on." And two competitors, seat-belted into the front seat of a sedan, then start a jiu-jitsu contest, again, in the front seat of a car. Now, carjitsu is not the first obscure sport that the
I have more questions, dude.
We're not done.
Where's the referee?
Outside of the car.
Okay, all right.
They are outside of the car. They look in through the windshield and the windows to make sure that the jiu-jitsu is being practiced legally by the two competitors. There's obviously wholesale strategy involved here. Like, for instance, great one. Obviously, you can't get a jiu-jitsu hold or submission of any type applied while you are seatbelted in, but is the play to try to get the seatbelt off immediately? Do you try to get arm control of the near side arm of the competitor and then with your other hand lock the seatbelt? Is there a strategy that differs when you are in the driver's seat and the seatbelt locks on your right versus in the passenger seat where it locks on your left.
See, that was my first thought. If you're left-handed, you want to be in the passenger seat. You do not want to be in the driver's seat. And if you got two righties, the guy in the driver's seat is at a major disadvantage because of the steering wheel.
That is true. That is true. This is, I got to tell you, this is the first, there's a lot of obscure sports out there. Some that I have never wagered on because a lot of, obviously, there's very few states, including North Carolina, that have approved some of these obscure sports for gambling purposes. But if they ever do, I am all in. Karjitsu is absolutely one. Karjitsu ever gets approved in North Carolina for me to gamble on, I'm immediately going to Cherokee to put down just a day's worth of Karjitsu.
By the way, you shouldn't do this until like 10 a.m., but it is on YouTube.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I was not joking when I say to you that when we took the last break, after I did our live read, I made my way over to the Fortress of Nerditude. I did not need to leave the studio. I did not need to take a break to exit the studio, but I decided to. Why? Because I learned about the sport of Karjitsu. Bro, these boys go hard, dude.
Yeah, but it's not just the front seat. It looks like the back seat is also.
Oh, the whole car is accessible.
Yeah, so okay.
Once the seat belts are, you start in the front seat, but once the seat belts are off, it is a jiu-jitsu match in which the entire car becomes a portion of the arena. Here's a strategy, Zoe. Do you take advantage of this one? If you can maintain front control, do you take the risk to reach across, hit the old seat recline lever, and drop their seat back so that it becomes a flat mat?
All right.
Do you try to maneuver them between the passenger and the driver's seat to get them into the back seat to open up some room?
So anyway, I'm watching the beginning of the championship match, and the first thing they both tried to do was to stop the other person from unbuckling their belt.
I have seen the strategy of get the seat belt, like wrist control the seat belt of the other guy. I have seen one guy so far who takes the seat belt, and this one, I don't know if this is legal or not. Again, I cannot tell you the exorbitant amount of time I am going to spend today reading the rules and bylaws of Karjitsu. All right, but I have seen one competitor who grabbed the seatbelt from the far side of the opponent, Zoe, brought it over and pinned it across the neck of the opponent, utilizing it as a restraint. The person that couldn't get by, the seatbelt was holding them back by the neck. Apparently, one can win Karjitsu by either submitting the opponent, Great One, or by escaping through the window of the car. It's like a Hell in a Cell match. You get through the door and you win.
Well, a cage match.
I guess not Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell, you got to go up over the top.
No, Hell in a Cell.
There's no
escape in Hell in a Cell.
That's right. So just a regular cage match.
Just a regular cage match, yes.
But apparently you can win by submitting your opponent, or you can win by escaping through the window. I'm watching one right now, a car jiu-jitsu championship, where a dude is straight up choking out the other dude with a seatbelt.
Are you watching Davidson versus Felton?
I don't know, because I'm watching it on YouTube shorts right now.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of clipped in. But the guy had the seatbelt all the way around the neck, and the other guy tapped out.
All right, you get match points, so this isn't just one
thing.
This
is a league, dude.
No, what I'm saying is it's not one submission. You keep going.
Yeah, it's,
so
yeah,
there,
yeah.
There are rounds.
My understanding is that's what jiu-jitsu is, right? It's like a multi-round fight.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's see. I just found a match between Leroy Davis and Ken Moore. That is 1 hour and 5 minutes long.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at is 45 minutes, Davidson versus Felton. So, yeah, and this was in 2022. So how far has the sport advanced at this point after a couple years?
I don't know, dude. All I can tell you is I had a conversation with Joe B. I had a conversation with Joe B over the weekend where I said, you know, I'm at this interesting point. I've made it no secret to anyone, including the people I work for, that the dream job of Rob Brown is to be a play-by-play guy, right? I would like to be like Fowler is. I'd like to be doing tennis one weekend and Olympic sports one weekend and then, you know, NFL one with college on Saturday. NFL. I'd like to be doing it the way that Gene Deckerhoff does it. You know, he does Tampa Bay on Sundays, FSU on Saturdays. Like, I'd like to get into that realm. And I asked Joe, do you think the play is for me, Rob Brown, to dial in and become an expert at one sport or just to be really good across all sports? And I think the question just got answered with Carjitsu. I think I'm just going to dive in to be the world's foremost Carjitsu play-by-play guy. I think my career has just taken a left-hand turn into being the preeminent voice, the face and vocal cords of Carjitsu. Zo, I think you and I would make a pretty formidable Carjitsu play-by-play color guy voice.
Yeah, I'm down for it. If I don't die right now.
Yeah, are you okay, bud? Lonzo's over here hacking up internal organs and, like, at this point, crying because of it. Not crying. I think his body's just rejecting everything that's inside of it, including his eyeballs at this point. This one looks right. Lonzo's had some bad ones. This one looks rough. Texter says, can we acknowledge where everybody's brain is going as Rob describes Carjitsu? I feel bad for whatever young lady you took to prom, Texter. It should not look like that, bud.
Well, I'm right now watching Carjitsu Championship 6 Ladies Night. It might be a coincidence.
I'm not saying there's no ladies who would be into the back of that, into that. I'm just saying, if I described Carjitsu and your brain immediately went that direction, I do feel bad for the young lady you took to prom.
Well, I am curious if there are weight classes, because, I mean, you
gotta be, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen any heavyweights yet.
I'll tell you right now. One of the nightmares.
The heavyweights would just be a lot of this.
One of the nightmares for Rob Brown is when anybody goes, yo, I'll pick you up for this thing, concert, golf round, whatever we're doing. I'll pick you up, and they show up in a sedan. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Here we go.
Hey, check out my new smart car.
I feel like
get on in.
Heavyweight class, that's got to take in the front seat of like a Yukon, right? It's got to take place in the front seat of like a Escalade. You can't put the big fellas in a sedan.
And you can't use a limo because that's kind of cheating.
Yeah, so. That's no good. Texter says, God bless, please come back, football. Hey, you've heard me say the words, peak off season, baby. Peak off season. And I am sorry. You're ready for the thing that is going to lose me more listeners than anything. This will lose me more listeners than saying dome every NFL stadium. I'm not getting into class of 2026 recruiting, okay? I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get into recruiting guys who are juniors and sophomores in high school, my man. Carjitsu is far more entertaining than that.
Oh, my gosh. She is using the belt as a weapon.
I'm telling you, dude. This is brutal.
It is.
It's brutal. If you are curious, while you are in Atlantic City, New Jersey, gambling on Carjitsu, you may also gamble, Lonzo, on the World Putting League, which is high-level competitive mini golf. And if you haven't looked up that, I suggest you check that out. Those boys don't play either.
Yeah, I've seen that before on the Ocho.
They're good, dude. Like unbelievably good. Hey, remember earlier when I said Lonzo's eyes were going to open up huge because of this sport? It literally just happened as he watches Carjitsu. They get after it, dude. They get after it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with actual sports. It's the Fan Upstate. I have wonderful, wonderful news for you all, because I know that you're all on board for this, and I am glad to know that is the case. Major League Baseball has decided at the AAA level that the automated ABS, the automatic ball strike system, will be utilized full-time starting in the end of this month through the rest of the MILB season. This is at the AAA level. The league sent a memo to minor league club directors yesterday announcing that on June 25th, all AAA games will use the ABS challenge system full time. Up until the 25th, the system has been used for half of the week. Now the full ABS will be used for the remainder of the games. Is this a step towards the ABS making its way to the MLB system? Fingers crossed, I hope so. And I hope so because of the fact that there is now a number of, and I follow a few of them on Twitter or X, whatever you prefer. There are folks who are now grading out umpires, and the numbers are like real, real bad. Let me give you an example. One of the accounts that I follow on X is an account that is called Umpire Auditor. You can follow this account on X at Umpire Auditor. It basically takes a look at the balls and strikes called by umpires, and it calls them. It also looks at other plays that have happened. Now, I'm not going to play the audio from it because I haven't had the time to check it and audit it yet and edit it as necessary. So I don't know if maybe we picked up a hot mic coach because the coach was very heated. But in a game between the Dodgers and the Rockies, not terribly long ago, like yesterday, we are in the ninth inning. And in the ninth inning, the LA Dodgers are at the dish. The Colorado Rockies are up by a run. There are two outs at this point in the game. One more out and the ballgame is over. Teoscar Hernandez is at the dish for the Dodgers. A pitch is thrown. That pitch is check swung on by Teoscar Hernandez. If you'd like to know approximately how this played out, I just posted two screenshots of it on our Twitter account. Teoscar Hernandez swings so far around on a 100-mile-an-hour heater that was about, 9 inches above the zone, that Hernandez's shoulders are squared to third base. The catcher points over at the first base umpire. The first base umpire says, no swing. That check swing would have ended the game. Should have ended the game, as it was indeed a strike. The umpire does not call it a strike. He rules it a safe checked swing. And Teoscar Hernandez, with two runners on, would then drive a home run out to right field on the very next pitch, and the Dodgers would take a two-run lead over the Colorado Rockies and then go on to win the game 11-9. He's not the only one. In a game between the Giants and the Cubs, Manny Gonzalez was behind the plate and missed, according to umpire auditor, not 5 calls, not 10 calls, not 20 calls, 27 calls were missed by that umpire. Umpire auditor had him at 27. Umpire scorecard had him at 26. And a plus 1.19 run expectancy created by the umpire.
How many did he get right?
It doesn't matter.
I want both sides of the story.
According to umpire scorecards, he had an overall accuracy of 87%, a relative accuracy of 5% below expected, an overall favor of plus 1.19 runs for the Chicago Cubs.
What's the average amount of calls that are right per umpire per game?
Per umpire, the expected accuracy is around 93%, 94%. His was at 87%.
So if that's the average, so generally they do pretty well, sounds like. But you want them to be 100%?
As close to it as I can get.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I believe that the outcome, I always say the outcome of the game, realistically what I should say and what I will say from this point forward, is that the outcome of every individual play, whether it's a pitch or a snap or a tip or a shot or a drive or whatever, the outcome of every individual play should be determined by the players and by no one else. The outcome of any athletic play should be determined by the athlete, not an umpire, not a referee, not a coach, not a fan, no one else. And I am under no disillusion.
So there should be no penalties, no nothing.
No regulation. If a pitch is a ball, it should be a ball. If a pitch is a strike, it should be a strike. Those aren't subjective things. We have a strike zone. We know what the strike zone is.
Will these robo umps be able to tell if someone really got tagged or not?
That's what instant replay is for.
Okay. So a human has to do that, though.
Sit in front of it. There is no debate.
All right.
You put a guy.
How accurate that is.
You put a guy in front of a 72-inch big screen HD TV with a super slow-mo camera, and you will get that right 99.9999% of the time, which is, and this is true, higher than 93% of the time. When a basketball player drives into the lane, and I have said many times, the hardest game to robo-ump will be basketball. Okay? It just will be. That's going to be the hardest one to do. Is it impossible? I doubt it. I think there's some super smart boys out there that can figure it out. I'm not one of them. But I'm talking about baseball for right now. In baseball, a ball is a ball and a strike is a strike, and never the twain shall meet. It's either a ball or it's a strike. And we have the opportunity because, again, we know that they have it in triple A ball. They would not do this if not every stadium was equipped with equipment that is proved to work and work well with a remarkably high accuracy rate. I'm not asking you to take umpires off of the field. You can still have a guy out there behind the plate that can do their funky little strikeout dances whenever there's a K. What I'm saying is we have a way.
You look more like you're doing the truffle shuffle. But
I mean, whatever. You ever seen Angel Hernandez? He just kind of raises his arm in the air and then does a strike. Do the strikeout call.
He don't work there no more.
No, he don't. He don't go to this school no more. Thankfully, he gone. Major League Baseball is implementing the ABS challenge system at the AAA level for the remainder of the year. Now, Rob Manfred has already said it is going to be at least another season before the league makes that change. And my question is, and this is as eloquently as I can phrase it, Rob, from one Rob to another, why? Why? I'm not even asking you to implement it this year. I'm saying put it in play next year because this is now the 1 billionth game this season that we have seen. By the way, I just gave you two from last night. There were like 8 games yesterday.
Do the players want this?
As far as I know, it's a pretty healthy split towards players that do and players that don't.
Shouldn't that matter?
No!
Why shouldn't that matter?
It should not. I'll tell you why. Because everybody who's a pitcher or bad hitter doesn't want it, and everybody who's a good batter does. So you are, by having it or not having it, it has advantages based on who's pitching and who is umpiring. By the way, that was the check swing that wasn't a swing, even though it absolutely and totally was. There's the next pitch that Teoscar Hernandez took it out to right center, and the Dodgers took the lead for no good reason.
I don't know. His hands were out in front more to make it more of a check swing than if the bat was out more.
The hands crossed the hip. The shoulders were squared to third. That's a check swing.
I wasn't looking at his hips, so I'll just have to take your word for it.
Trust me on this. That's a swing. Trust me on this.
Yeah, it wasn't called one. So
if we have the tech to make that stop happening, if we have the tech to to make balls balls and strikes strikes and get them accurate to even 2% higher than the umpires. We should do it.
I don't understand how it would regulate a check swing. I don't get that.
Because
part.
You can put it
I
in
can get the strikes and balls, and I mean, that's easy to do. But
here's why. It's very simple. Because the umpires watch it in real time and make a subjective decision, and subjective decisions are not only up to, obviously, your eyeballs, which we know for a fact fool you a lot of the time, trick you a lot of the time, but on top of that, they are subjective to, and variables include emotional responses to what's happening in the game. How many referees in the NBA do you think have called or not called fouls? Not because they had an intent to change the game, but because the crowd's really hype and everybody's into it. And it's a big emotional moment. And they go, that's an offensive foul, because the hype is there, or vice versa.
I'm going to make a prediction that when the robo umps are installed, that you will say the robo ump was wrong at least 30, 40 times a year.
Here's what I will say.
The calibration was incorrect, and because of that, the robo ump is not wrong. It's just the man, the human being that programmed it was human.
And yet, even if that was true, the robo umps will still have a bona fide, measurable, empirically provable, heightened rate of performance over human umpires. That's just a fact of life.
By what percentage? I don't know that's a fact. It hasn't been completely
implemented.
If it
was by 1%, it's an upgrade.
Okay.
If it's by 1%, it is an improvement, by definition. But I would say by 7%, 8%, every play on a diamond, on a court, on a field, on a pitch, on whatever surface we play whatever game on, every single play that happens should have its outcome determined by, solely by, only by the athletes, not the umpires, not the referees. That's just how it should be.
And you said half the athletes don't want this.
I don't care.
So, but you just, okay. All right.
I don't care.
I'm confused.
Half the athletes don't want it because it benefits them.
That's your opinion.
It should not. It is not my opinion that an umpire having too wide of a strike zone benefits pitchers and too narrow of a strike zone benefits hitters. That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
You did say that, Shane, by the way.
Yes, I did say balls, balls on the radio. I don't know what the segue is from that. Here's Lonzo with a sports flash. How professional.
Those things fire on their own.
Uh-huh.
They absolutely do. The Stanley Cup Finals are headed back to Edmonton for Game 6 after the Oilers knocked off the Panthers 5-3. Edmonton now trails 3-2 overall after winning 2 in a row. Connor Brown opened up the scoring, followed by a power play goal from Zach Hyman, and 5-on-5 by Connor McDavid. Game 6 is Friday night. Baseball legend Willie Mays passed away yesterday at 93 years of age. Mays, known as the Say Hey Kid, played a career that included 24 All-Star games, 2 National League MVPs, and a dozen Gold Gloves. Mays ranked 6th in all-time home runs, 7th in runs scored, 12th in RBIs, and 13th in hits. Tune in tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news, great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. They're not on today because it's a holiday, but Rob decided to work. That's why we're here. Wire to Wire.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wonderful, wonderful news for you all, because I know that you're all on board for this, and I am glad to know that is the case. Major League Baseball has decided at the AAA level that the automated ABS, the automatic ball strike system, will be utilized full time starting in the end of this month through the rest of the MILB season. This is at the AAA level. The league sent a memo to minor league club directors yesterday announcing that on June 25th, all AAA games will use the ABS challenge system full time. Up until the 25th, the system has been used for half of the week. Now the full ABS will be used for the remainder of the games. Is this a step towards the ABS making its way to the MLB system? Fingers crossed, I hope so. And I hope so because of the fact that there is now a number of, and I follow a few of them on Twitter or X, whatever you prefer. There are folks who are now grading out umpires, and the numbers are like real, real bad. Let me give you an example. One of the accounts that I follow on X is an account that is called Umpire Auditor. You can follow this account on X at Umpire Auditor. It basically takes a look at the balls and strikes called by umpires, and it calls them. It also looks at other plays that have happened. Now, I'm not going to play the audio from it because I haven't had the time to check it and audit it yet and edit it as necessary. So I don't know if maybe we picked up a hot mic coach because the coach was very heated. But in a game between the Dodgers and the Rockies, not terribly long ago, like yesterday, we are in the ninth inning. And in the ninth inning, the LA Dodgers are at the dish. The Colorado Rockies are up by a run. There are two outs at this point in the game. One more out and the ball game is over. Teoscar Hernandez is at the dish for the Dodgers. A pitch is thrown. That pitch is check swung on by Teoscar Hernandez. If you'd like to know approximately how this played out, I just posted two screenshots of it on our Twitter account. Teoscar Hernandez swings so far around on a 100-mile-an-hour heater that was about, 9 inches above the zone, that Hernandez's shoulders are squared to third base. The catcher points over at the first base umpire. The first base umpire says, no swing. That check swing would have ended the game, should have ended the game, as it was indeed a strike. The umpire does not call it a strike. He rules it a safe checked swing. And Teoscar Hernandez, with two runners on, would then drive a home run out to right field on the very next pitch. And the Dodgers would take a two-run lead over the Colorado Rockies and then go on to win the game 11-9. He's not the only one. In a game between the Giants and the Cubs, Manny Gonzalez was behind the plate, and missed, according to umpire auditor, not 5 calls, not 10 calls, not 20 calls, 27 calls were missed by that umpire. Umpire auditor had him at 27. Umpire scorecard had him at 26. And a plus 1.19 run expectancy created by the umpire.
How many did he get right?
It doesn't matter.
I want both sides of the story.
According to umpire scorecards, he had an overall accuracy of 87%. A relative accuracy of 5% below expected, an overall favor of plus 1.19 runs for the Chicago Cubs.
What's the average amount of calls that are right per umpire per game?
Per umpire, the expected accuracy is around 93%, 94%. His was at 87%.
So if that's the average, so generally they do pretty well, sounds like. But you want them to be 100%.
As close to it as I can get.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I believe that the outcome, I always say the outcome of the game, realistically what I should say, and what I will say from this point forward, is that the outcome of every individual play, whether it's a pitch or a snap, or a tip, or a shot, or a drive, or whatever. The outcome of every individual play should be determined by the players and by no one else. The outcome of any athletic play should be determined by the athlete, not an umpire, not a referee, not a coach, not a fan, no one else. And I am under no disillusion.
So there should be no penalties, no nothing.
No.
Regulation, no.
No. If a pitch is a ball, it should be a ball. If a pitch is a strike, it should be a strike. Those aren't subjective things. We have a strike zone. We know what the strike zone is.
Will these robo umps be able to tell if someone really got tagged or not?
That's what instant replay is for.
So a human has to do that, though.
Sit in front of it. There is no debate.
All right.
You put a guy.
How accurate that is.
You put a guy in front of a 72-inch big screen HD TV with a super slow-mo camera, and you will get that right 99.9999% of the time, which is, and this is true, higher than 93% of the time. When a basketball player drives into the lane, and I have said many times, the hardest game to robo-ump will be basketball. Okay? It just will be. That's going to be the hardest one to do. Is it impossible? I doubt it. I think there's some super smart boys out there that can figure it out. I'm not one of them. But I'm talking about baseball for right now. In baseball, a ball is a ball and a strike is a strike, and never the twain shall meet. It's either a ball or it's a strike. And we have the opportunity because, again, we know that they have it in triple A ball. They would not do this if not every stadium was equipped with equipment that is proved to work and work well with a remarkably high accuracy rate. I'm not asking you to take umpires off of the field. You can still have a guy out there behind the plate that can do their funky little strikeout dances whenever there's a K. What I'm saying is we have a way.
You look more like you're doing the truffle shuffle. But
I mean, whatever. You ever seen Angel Hernandez? He just kind of raises his arm in the air and then does a strike. Do the strikeout call.
He don't work there no more.
No, he don't. He don't go to this school no more. Thankfully, he gone. Major League Baseball is implementing the ABS challenge system at the AAA level for the remainder of the year. Now, Rob Manfred has already said it is going to be at least another season before the league makes that change. And my question is, and this is as eloquently as I can phrase it, Rob, from one Rob to another, why? I'm not even asking you to implement it this year. I'm saying put it in play next year because this is now the 1 billionth game this season that we have seen. By the way, I just gave you two from last night. There were like 8 games yesterday.
Do the players want this?
As far as I know, it's a pretty healthy split towards players that do and players that don't.
Shouldn't that matter?
No!
Why shouldn't that matter?
It should not. I'll tell you why. Because everybody who's a pitcher or bad hitter doesn't want it, and everybody who's a good batter does. So you are, by having it or not having it, it has advantages based on who's pitching and who is umpiring. There's, by the way, that was the check swing that wasn't a swing, even though it absolutely and totally was. There's the next pitch that Teoscar Hernandez took it out to right center, and the Dodgers took the lead for no good reason.
I don't know. His hands were out in front more to make it more of a check swing than if the bat was out more.
The hands crossed the hip. The shoulders were squared to third. That's a check swing.
I wasn't looking at his hips, so I'll just have to take your word for it.
Trust me on this. That's a swing. Trust me on this.
Yeah, it wasn't called one. So
if we have the tech to make that stop happening, if we have the tech to make balls balls and strikes strikes and get them accurate to even 2% higher than the umpires, forget seven, we should do it.
I don't understand how it would regulate a check swing. I don't get that.
Because
part.
You can put it
I
in.
I can get the strikes and balls, and I mean, that's easy to do. But
here's why. It's very simple. Because the umpires watch it in real time and make a subjective decision, and subjective decisions are not only up to, obviously, your eyeballs, which we know for a fact fool you a lot of the time, trick you a lot of the time, but on top of that, they are subjective to, and variables include emotional responses to what's happening in the game. How many referees in the NBA do you think have called or not called fouls? Not because they had an intent to change the game, but because the crowd's really hype and everybody's into it. And it's a big emotional moment. And they go, that's an offensive foul, because the hype is there, or vice versa.
I'm going to make a prediction that when the robo umps are installed, that you will say the robo ump was wrong at least 30, 40 times a year.
Here's what I will say.
The calibration was incorrect, and because of that, the robo ump is not wrong. It's just the man, the human being that programmed it was human.
And yet, even if that was true, the robo umps will still have a bona fide, measurable, empirically provable, heightened rate of performance over human umpires. That's just a fact of life.
By what percentage? I don't know that's a fact. It hasn't been completely
implemented. If it was by 1%, it's an upgrade.
Okay.
If it's by 1%, it is an improvement, by definition. But I would say by 7%, 8%, every play on a diamond, on a court, on a field, on a pitch, on whatever surface we play whatever game on, every single play that happens should have its outcome determined by, solely by, only by the athletes, not the umpires, not the referees. That's just how it should be.
And you said half the athletes don't want this.
I don't care.
So, but you just, okay. All right.
I don't care.
I'm confused.
Half the athletes don't want it because it benefits them.
That's your opinion.
It should not, it is not my opinion that an umpire having too wide of a strike zone benefits pitchers and too narrow of a strike zone benefits hitters. That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
You did say that, Shane, by the way.
Yes, I did say balls, balls on the radio. I don't know what the segue is from that. Here's Lonzo with a sports flash. How professional.
Those things fire on their own.
Uh-huh.
They absolutely do. The Stanley Cup Finals are headed back to Edmonton for Game 6 after the Oilers knocked off the Panthers 5-3. Edmonton now trails 3-2 overall after winning 2 in a row. Connor Brown opened up the scoring, followed by a power play goal from Zach Hyman, and 5-on-5 by Connor McDavid. Game 6 is Friday night. Baseball legend Willie Mays passed away yesterday at 93 years of age. Mays, known as the Say Hey Kid, played a career that included 24 All-Star games, two National League MVPs, and a dozen Gold Gloves. Mays ranked 6th in all-time home runs, 7th in runs scored, 12th in RBIs, and 13th in hits. Tune in tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news, great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. They're not on today because it's a holiday, but Rob decided to work. That's why we're here. Wire to Wire.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bathroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.